We had a bicycle group came through last Friday night. These guys, it's a youth program where they're 16 years old. They're testing the water down the Hudson River. They started on the other side of Mount Marcy, which is the highest peak in New York. And they hiked up over top of Mount Marcy. And they're out, most of them are out of Jersey. Excuse me. And then they hiked up over that. It took them a couple of days, 2-3 days to get over Marcy and then down to where they were going and canoe down the river, taking water samples, and then bike down the river and take more water samples all the way down to Jersey. I'm sure it gets worse down by Jersey, but they needed a place to stay. They just called the church. They said, hey, can we park our bikes here and stay here for the night? And we were like, we don't know you. I have no idea where you're coming from or whatever. But we said, you know what? That's what the church is for. Amen. And so they all came and I met them. And it was so wonderful. It was such a God thing. It was a young couple that helps set up the bags and make the food and stuff. So I came and I met them and we talked. And they're both Catholic, so I had an amazing time. It was incredible. And I was talking to him about, I said, listen, God's created you for a purpose and a reason. He created the whole world for you to go and play. And no matter where you go, God wants to go with you. And she's like, yeah, yeah. And she was just getting so excited. And that's what I want to do. I want to stir up the freedom that God gives us. Amen. God's given you freedom. Heaven forbid you never leave Columbia County. Some of you need to repent right now. Heaven forbid we look at the rest of the world and say, that's too far, that's too hard. No, your God will make a way, amen? And we're to stir up everybody else and say, look at our God, such a big God. And I'm, you know, so blessed over the years as we've taken over 400 into the mission field. And there's another one. Don't forget to sign up. You want to go to Africa. The sign-up sheet is in there. And we're going to have to finalize that so we can get the tickets. So if you want to go, please sign up quickly. But, you know, these are the things we have. I have one shot with those two. One shot. They weren't even married yet. And so we got to talk about marriage. And that's always a fun subject. You know? And both of them, I said, well, what's his greatest need? I don't know. What's hers? I don't know. And they always come up with the wrong answer, right? But we had so much fun. Can I tell you? When we do what God's called us to do, it just changes our lives, and it makes us come alive. And, you know, one other a testimony, Matt Fleming, he's been praying for his family for a while. Right, Matt? Where are you, Matt? Oh, he's back there. He's been praying for his family for a while, and his brother, he's been talking to his brother, Bruce, and they've been going back and forth. And how many know family is... sometimes, shall we say, not the easiest, right? Because they know you. And so they've been going back and forth, talking to scriptures and building a relationship and talk about the things of God. And then his brother came and he said, okay, I'm all done doing it that way. Would you baptize me? And he got to baptize his brother in the name of Jesus Christ. Great job, Matt. Great job. We've got a baptism. If you've never been baptized, there's a sheet back there in the Wilson room on the table. If you've never been water baptized, get on that sheet. We're going to do that in a couple of weeks. But can I tell you, I'm so proud of Matt for baptizing his brother, because that's not my job. That's every disciple's job. Amen? Every single one of us. Just get them saved and get them baptized and get them on and then fill them with the Holy Ghost and then get them on their way. Train and equip them. That's all of our jobs, not mine. We've got other churches to plant. We need more people getting out of here. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Yeah. Huh. Some people just went. If you have your Bibles open up, we got to get off of that subject. But if you have your Bibles open up to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, and I've been chewing on this, and God just been dealing with me on it, and just falling in love with him more and more and more, and wanting to sit. You know how when you're reading and you have your plan, and then you read for a while, and then you only get to one verse, and you can't go any further, right? And you just sit there, and you want to drink it all in and say, Father, what is this all about, and what are you speaking to me through this? And I've just been chewing on it for a while, and it's a very familiar passage, right, where blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You're not going to get satisfied with anything else that this world has to offer. Okay? Nothing Nothing. That person next to you cannot satisfy you. Those children, they'll never satisfy you. Grandchildren, they come close, but they do not satisfy. God's got more. But they're the closest thing so far that I've found. But Jesus is quite clear that nothing else will satisfy. Right? This is him speaking. He said, look, if you're going to hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're going to be satisfied. And what is that righteousness, that right standing that we have with the Lord? So if you're going to hunger and thirst for him, you'll be satisfied. When you hunger and thirst, when he becomes the epicenter of every desire of your heart, everything starts to change. Can I tell you, witnessing to those two and just telling them about the Lord Friday night was more exciting than any trip I've ever been on, any roller coaster I hate roller coasters. I like them, actually. I just don't like that drop. Because I need to wear Depends if I go over that thing. That scares me. I married the right woman because she don't like them either. The only one I ever liked was the Hulk because that shoots you out right into. I like all the twisting and turning. I just don't like that drop. But Friday night was more exciting than anything else that comes. To watch people's eyes start to go. And then their hearts start to open up and receive the word of God. And their lives start to change all because of the power of his word. There's nothing more exciting than that. And when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, then the things that we've been chasing, they just start to fall to the side. You know, whatever we hunger for is quite evident because it's what we're chasing after. And whatever we're thirsting for, everybody around us knows. Amen? Because we don't stop talking about it. Most all the advertisements that you see have one goal, to tell you that you're not satisfied. And you can't be until. That's what the advertisements do, right? They tell you don't be satisfied. You can't possibly be satisfied until you buy this, until you drive this, until you own this. Whatever it is, every advertisement is to try to tell you something contrary to the word of God. That something is going to satisfy you. The only thing that satisfies is those who have hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because when we get closer to him, he's the only one that satisfies the deep need inside of each one of us. How many, when you came to Christ, that brokenness, all of a sudden God started opening up and showing you the area that you were hurt in or weak in or the way that you messed up. And he said, I'm going to make all things new. We're gonna take that heart that's all broken and busted, or the one that's blocked in with not only a door or a wall, but cement and rocks and re-rod and all the other stuff, because nobody's ever gonna hurt me again. And then God just starts to rip that apart, and he puts in a heart of flesh where we can now love again, right? How many? You get to love people that are unlovable. See, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, everything starts to change. Everything starts to change. If we look down and actually, those commercials are trying to destroy your satisfaction. How many times were you perfectly content? Right? The scripture says contentment with godliness is what? Great gain. Right. So contentment with the things of God. And how many times did you look at a commercial and all of a sudden, yeah. That's what I need. Honey, that's what I need. Can we just take out another loan? I need it. I'm not content. It's the newest. It's the latest. It's the greatest. And it draws us in. You were perfectly content with what you had. And then all of a sudden, doesn't matter what it is. It can be the silliest thing. Do you see them sandals? That toothpaste looks amazing. They know how to tell you you're not satisfied. They know how to destroy your satisfaction. They know how the human psyche, they spend billions of dollars figuring out what makes you tick and how to get you to feel unsatisfied until you buy their product. Turn over to Psalm 16. We're going to look at Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11. When David was completely satisfied with the Lord, he said, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and I have no good beside you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have betrayed or bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offering of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Excuse me. You support my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places indeed. My heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Nor will will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. I should have brought my glasses out here. And in verse 11, he says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. No, I'm good. The rest of it is okay. You know, he said, you're my refuge, my righteousness, my portion, my inheritance. He's the one who supports all that I have. He's the counselor. Every aspect of life, David found his satisfaction in the Lord. He found his satisfaction not in what he could possess, not in what he could build, not in what he could own, not in what he could give. The only thing he found satisfaction in is what the Lord supplied. He said, you're my refuge. In Psalm 16, 7, it says, I will bless, in the King James Version, it says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me my counsel, or given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And in Hebrew, that word reins, it means kidneys. Yeah. So he's saying, my innermost parts, an organ that is needed. You can't live without your kidneys. And he's saying, in my innermost parts, that's what he's saying, also instruct me in the night season. The Lord speaks to us in the night season. Amen. Sometimes, we were talking about this the other day. He loves to speak in dreams. How many people write their dreams down when you get them? You should. Write every dream down. You know why he speaks to us so much in dreams and visions? It's the only time you shut up long enough. It's the only time we're quiet. It's the only time our minds aren't trying to fix something, build something, acquire something, or go somewhere or do something. When we finally are at rest, he says, he comes in then and he speaks to us. And he said, you're old men, you're going to dream dreams. You young men will see visions. This is what God, this is how God speaks to each one of us. And he wants to remind us, I'm your refuge. I'm your righteousness. I'm your portion. I'm your inheritance. I'm the one that supports all that you have. And I'm your counselor. How many know he's the greatest counselor there is? 1 minute with him is worth more than 100,000 words from any man or woman. One moment with the King. And he's talking about those reins or the kidneys, the inner man, the very vital organs. And we would say what the Spirit of God is saying, that which is on the inside. He's at my right hand and he leads me. He said, I will not be shaken. No matter what comes, no matter what kind of situation we're in with our, whether it's a government, whether it's finances, whether it's marriage, whether it's children, it doesn't matter the situation. He said, look, if you'll put your trust in me, Matt, how long you been talking to your brother? Huh? 2 years. 2 years before anything finally happened. Did he agree with everything you ever said? Not in the beginning. Right. But you know what? We don't stop doing what he's called us to do. We don't give up just because somebody disagrees with us. We continually walk in that. Why? Because he's my satisfaction. Just because somebody disagrees with you and they badmouth you doesn't change the fact that he's my satisfaction. Doesn't mean that you're lost. It just means that he's teaching you to grow a little bit more when people don't agree with you all the time when it comes to the things of God. David said he's my security. He said he'll never leave me nor abandon me. He shows me the way to walk, and he is our joy every day and for all of eternity. These are all the things that David spoke about the Lord, and he's saying, look at, he's the one that satisfies. And when he satisfies, then his word starts to satisfy, and then all of a sudden, our desire starts to change. How many know that when you get what satisfies you, your desire changes? Right? Sure. You got that new car. That's satisfied. And then your desire changed when that first payment came. You drove it for a while and it was the newest, hottest, the greatest, the latest. And then all of a sudden desire changed and you had to have something else. New longboard. For those of you who longboard, that's what you do, Rick, right, on your part? You on the longboard going down Warren Street? I'd like to see it. I'll pay. Whatever it is, a new set of sneakers. It's amazing to watch what kids do with sneakers today. Right? Some of them are still, they're walking like a duck. Have you seen them? I don't want to put a crease in the toe. Building boxes and laying them all out on display. Right? Washing and cleansing them. $350 a pair of sneakers. Yeah, but I got, that's cheap for some of them. Apparently. It's more expensive than any pair I got, I'll tell you that much. But they're never happy. I forget what football player, but he had something like 3,000 pair of sneakers. He had a room built with all kinds of little box cubbies, and all of his sneakers took up the whole room. Never satisfied. Whatever you're chasing after, it's not going to be enough unless it's him. No matter how hard you strive and try, and I strive and I try, nothing, absolutely nothing will satisfy like he does. Amen? When this is our focus and when we walk in the intimacy that David shows us, and of course other men and women of God, and we proclaim, you know, throughout, which are proclaimed throughout the word, then these things happen, and it's easy to respond properly. When things happen, it's easy to respond properly when he is all that we have need of. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give what? Thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything. I don't know what you're in right now. I don't know what you're in. And every one of us pretty much in this room is in something different. Can we all agree? Right? You're in a thought process in your mind. Everyone in here is in a thought process. And whatever you're in is, it consumes. Some for the good, some for the bad. How many know we've had thoughts that have consumed us that were ungodly? Right? How many a day come and flood our minds the wrong thought? And then we have to battle to get rid of that thought and overcome it. And the only way we do is find our satisfaction in the word that he says that we can take every thought captive. How many know we have the power to take every thought captive? You have the authority to be able to do that, right? Do you have the authority to agree with his word? Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it? We have the ability, we have the authority, we have the strength, we've got the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that pulled the mountains out of the oceans. There's nothing lacking in us to be able to take those thoughts captive, to pull them down, the Bible says. Every high and lofty thing, anything in this world that tries to come in and take his place. Anything, which is fear, right? Unforgiveness, bitterness, all of these things that the enemy sends, hurt and pain, all of those things the enemy tries to send, and then sometimes we get overwhelmed by it. How many get lost for more than 30 seconds with a wrong thought and build a whole scenario? Right? One time we were out to dinner with a couple, from the church in Greenville. And we were talking, and I said to my buddy's wife, I said, hey, or we were all talking, we were just talking amongst ourselves. I said, did you guys ever have a dream or a thought when you're driving down the road? And we were just talking about this with Joel and Agnes on Saturday. And just driving down the road, and it's like all of a sudden you steer off and you hit a tree head on, and then you're dead, and then you have your whole funeral laid out there, and people are coming, and people are crying, and some people are, you know. No? Just me. Me and Agnes. All right, I'm not going. Me and Agnes. All right. And it was so funny because Michelle, my buddy's wife, she goes, I do the same thing. Brendan Anthony said, you're both mentally retarded. I said, what is wrong with you? It's like, I don't know. I thought that was normal. I blame my upbringing. But it was a wrong thought. It was a wrong thought. It was a thought of destruction. How many have had a, don't raise your hand, but how many have had a thought of suicide? Don't raise your hand, because I know there's a lot of people in here that have. And you've got to tear that thing down. The enemy wants to stop the work of God in your life. He's not interested in you. It's not about you dying. It's about the call of God and the gift of God dying so that other people's lives aren't changed for the cause of Christ. He knows how many you're going to influence and you're going to change if you'll walk with him. And so the enemy gives you these stupid thoughts. Just end it. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. You've gone too far. You're a fool. Do you think anybody gives a rat about you? Nobody does. Just end it. I can't tell you how many people I've sat with that have all said these things. That thought comes in. I want to give you a word of advice. It's not from God. It's not. You see, and this is why we've got to go back and, as David said, start to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because those thoughts, there's people jumping off the bridge just about every month because of no hope. He is our hope, amen? And if you've got those thoughts, listen, and if you want to talk to somebody, come on in, we'll chat. Yeah. And we'll walk alongside of you, we'll pray with you, and we'll agree with you in the things of God. And then we'll bring the word of God, and that word destroys the work of the enemy. The only thing powerful enough to destroy the work of the enemy is the word of God. He changes the way we think. He changes the way we speak, right? Because if he said, if you hunger, that's what you want. If you thirst, that's what you're speaking. So we start hungering for the word of God, start speaking the word of God. Guess what? Every situation you're ever going to be in is going to change. Every situation is able to change. There is not a situation on this planet that doesn't change when the word of God is presented and brought in. Everyone has to change, because every knee will what? Bow. Every knee will bow. Every demon in hell has to bow. And if we'll grab a hold of those words that are spoken, those lies that the enemy speaks, they'll bow at the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Every single one. And we've watched it happen many, many times. Luke 6:30, it says, give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. We have a hard time with that in our mind, don't we? Because that's mine. I saw it on a commercial. I wasn't satisfied until I got that. Now I'm satisfied. Don't touch it. And somebody goes, I don't know if you're one of those kind of people. Yeah. Your children are. Don't touch that. I didn't train them. That's you. But when we read this scripture, you see, when God satisfies, right? And then he said, look at, give to anyone who asks. In other words, help people out. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, that's what our job is. I'm giving you stuff to help everybody else out. Nobody touches my favorite shovel. How silly is that? I'd rather never touch my shovel, just being honest. I'd rather have somebody else touch my shovel and use it at my house. But nobody touches my shovel. It sounds silly because what's a shovel? $10? Or it used to be anyway. Now it's what, $50 probably for a shovel? Nobody touches my show. This is my favorite shovel. How many of you ladies? That's my gardening tool. Do not play with that in the sand pile. I'll never see it again. Whatever it is, that it's yours. And God said, look, if somebody needs it, give it to them. Why? Why? Look at Matthew 5 and verse 40 and 42. It says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. God's teaching us that all the stuff that we thought would satisfy, he said, look, it, somebody else is going to need it. Help them out. Help them out. And if they don't give it back, this is where David, this is where David strengthens each and every one of us, because he found his completeness in Christ, and that is God met all of his needs. Amen? God's looking to see if you're going to be obedient to his word. How many people have you badmouthed because they didn't bring something back? How many people did you tell, hey, listen, that guy, he'll never borrow this again. Let me tell you something. Yeah, you'll never see him touch my stuff again. Right? We start to get an attitude. That's not what God wants. Because when we know that our God is that good, that even if they don't bring it back, we know God's going to give us more when we act on his word. Right? Anytime that I've used that, people that have broken my stuff, they've never... Who has my 28-foot ladder? Somebody borrowed about 8 years ago. I never saw it again. If you sold it, just, you know, send in your tithe at least. But people that borrow stuff, I never saw it again. Now, the nice part about a bad memory is I have no idea who did it, so I can't get mad at anybody, right? But the issue is that I know that if I lend somebody something and they break it, and if I don't get an attitude, I'm like, well, Lord, you said don't worry about it. And if they said, hey, can I borrow 10 bucks and I give them 20? Because the Bible says, you know, go 2 miles with them. If they ask for your shirt, give them your cloak also. Why? Because when I find my sufficiency, when I'm satisfied in Jesus Christ, then I know that my God is for me. How many know their God is for them? Right. How many know your God supplies all of your needs? How many know that your God blesses you in the midst of tough times? Right. So no matter what somebody takes, if we'll act according to his word and find our sufficiency and we're satisfied with him, then he's going to give to us above and beyond anything we ever asked or thought. He's able to replace anything that came up missing. Amen. How many friends don't you have because some of your stuff came up missing? Don't raise your hand. And don't put up like. How many times? Why? Because God said, hey, you're not supposed to be satisfied with this stuff. This is only stuff to use and to help everybody else out when they have need. All that we have. And if it comes up missing, he said, don't worry about it. Watch what I'm about to do. Trust me. Look to me. Watch me. Rejoice in it all. Just rejoice in it. You know, little car that I just got. It's a 2012. It's hot. It's the new hotness. It's a Yaris. I know you never heard of one. Me neither. Till I bought this one. All the clear coat was peeling off of it. It looked terrible. So I got it repainted. Somebody borrowed it. Came back. Scuffed on the side. I don't care if it's a 2012. My new paint job is scuffed. And I sat there and I'm looking and I'm... Something that is to be used. It's a 2012. It's a Yaris. Don't worry about a smudge on the side of a Yaris. That's not something people usually get upset about. I just want that silly little thing to drive for the next 6 years because it gets me from point A to point B, amen? And there's no payments, and that's the part that I really like. But I was looking at that, and I thought, somebody's going to pay. I'm going to lose it. And in my head, and I thought, what the heck is wrong with you? And then the next thought was, get a buffer, it'll buff out. I shouldn't have to. Just being honest with you. Why do I have to buy a buffing wheel and buff it out? I didn't do it. But then the Lord started dealing with me. He's good like that, amen? And he gave me two words. He said, shut up. And I thought for a minute, and that was the best two words he could give me. Because then I had to think for a minute and said, yeah, I can take care of this. Not that big a deal. Can I tell you, most of the stuff that you get overwhelmed by isn't that big a deal? How many things did you mishandle because you made it a big deal? But when our sufficiency is in him, when we strengthen ourselves in him, when we remind ourselves, wait a minute, if anybody takes something of mine that doesn't return, that's okay. My God is going to make a way. So, Rick, if that 70 Nova isn't in your garage tomorrow, don't worry about it. Just let it go, my friend, all right? It was me. I'm honest. And don't worry about it. But to really start to look and see how God wants to use us and how he wants to be that sufficiency. That's all he wants to know, is whether or not you believe and you trust in him. And knowing he is looking at the obedience of his word, he's not worried about what comes up missing out of your house. You ever been robbed? We were. While we were at church. Yep. Serving 300 people Thanksgiving dinner. They robbed us twice in the same day. Yeah. You know how violated you feel when you get robbed? It was the same guy that robbed us. And it was a guy that we had helped out years ago. Knew where we'd be. We walked in. You know the funniest thing? My daughter sits down on the couch, starts trying to turn the TV on. The TV was stolen. TV ain't working. TV ain't there, baby. But how many know what kind of a habit we get in, right? You don't pay attention. The boys run downstairs and they run getting their clothes, getting ready to go to the bathroom, whatever. The whole entertainment center is pulled halfway out. The TV, VCR, everything's missing. The CD player, they run around there. They run back out. Never even said a word. Never noticed. Yeah. All of a sudden, I think it was my wife, she said, honey, did those boys take the TV off the wall to their friend's house to go play video games? Because if they did, I am going to whoop all of them. And he said, they wouldn't take it off the wall. We started looking around. Said, no, I think we got robbed. All of a sudden, it was like, you were naked all of a sudden. You feel violated. And it's like, what in the world? But you know what you find out when you get robbed? It's just stuff. It's just stuff. He took it all. They called him. Well, actually, I told him who he was eventually. We didn't know. They went and arrested him. But I don't have an attitude towards the guy. He's in prison for 15 years, so there's that. But, I didn't get mad and lose control, and I didn't want to go beat him up or none of that stuff. It was just, we need to rethink everything in our house and realize that we can't hang too tight on any of this stuff, because one day it's all going to come up missing. Whether we throw it in a dump or it comes up missing someday, it's all going to disappear. Amen? And we're going to have to respond when we're satisfied with him. I believe it was John Piper that says that he's most glorified when we're most satisfied with him. That's when God gets all the glory. So when something comes up missing or somebody treats you wrong, just remind them. Just remind them. Say, that's all right. It's all right. My God's got me. Because those things don't have you then, but God does. 1 Timothy 6, 6-10, it says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. In verse 7 it says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, and with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmless desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Can I tell you, when you walk away from the call of God for something in this world, you pierce yourself with many griefs. Because you struggle here and in your heart, because the Holy Spirit never stops reminding you of what God's called you to do. I remember Pastor Bob telling us that he would pastored about three different churches, and then he took a year off. And he was working a regular job. And he got done at, what, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they said, that's it for the day. And he goes, that's it? We're done at 3? This is incredible. I've just been pastoring a church. You don't get done. You run right on until 10 o'clock at night. I can go do what I want after 3 o'clock? Are you kidding me? Woo! This is freedom. This is great. Lasted a year. Lasted a year, and the Holy Spirit said, time to go plant another church. All right, we'll go plant another church. And thank God that he did, because he would have never been content in what he was doing going home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll never be content until you do what God's called you to do. I don't know what he's called you to do, each and every one in this room, but I know there's more pastors in here. I know there's more evangelists. I know there's more missionaries. I know there's prophets. I know there's people that are supposed to take people into your home and be the most hospitable people there are. I know there are people in here that are supposed to give a lot more than they've given. I know all of these promises and all of these gifts are in the Word of God, and I believe every one of them are sitting here in this church. Yes. Thanks, honey. You guys are tough.
Thank you.
Man. He ain't getting my stuff, I'll tell you that much. I don't want your stuff. He only wants your heart. Amen. So that you're only satisfied with him. And everything else starts to fall away. We all want the fire of the Holy Ghost. We all want to walk in that power and that authority. Can I tell you, the fire burns. It burns away the wood, hay, and stubble. And it keeps the foundation clean. The Holy Spirit wants to burn away some thoughts in each one of our heads because he wants to keep the foundation clean. That foundation has to be the Word of God and nothing else. You can't build on anything else. You can't desire anything else more than you want what he has for your life. I can't get outside of that. I've got to stand in the midst of it. But the Holy Spirit burns away the wood, hay, and stubble. What is there in our lives that has distracted me from the things of God? Is there any person on the planet that has been a distraction where I've got to go either forgive, repent, or maybe replace what I didn't return? My 28-foot ladder, who's ever in here? They probably left the church a while ago, but... Whatever it's got to do, whatever it's going to be, in order for us to fulfill all that God has promised, there's more that he has for the church. Learning to be content is a prelude to satisfaction. To be satisfied means that we're not yearning for something else. And when our hunger is satisfied, we don't want any more food. You ever get to that place where you don't want to eat anymore? I was there last night. We went to Mike Petromali's house. What is it? Stunod's Pizza Shack he built. He's got a little pizza oven. We went over there. He made 8 pizzas. Huh? 9. I ate a piece or two, 8 out of the 9 pizzas. And then he got upset because I wouldn't eat some of the 9th pizza. He said, what are you kidding me? I'm going to throw up. I can't eat more. A couple other pastors, I won't mention their names, they ate from the 9th pizza too, but I just couldn't do it. It was out of my league. But I got to a place, I wasn't hungry. And then his wonderful wife, she said, well, leave room for dessert. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. But I didn't want to be disrespectful, so I ate some dessert. Driving home, I had to lay the seat back because I couldn't even. I'm unbuttoning my belt and I'm laying the seat back. I didn't want to eat because I was satisfied. Right? You drink so much. I don't want no more water. I've had enough. I don't want it. And when it comes to the things of God, see, when we're satisfied with him, we don't want what the world has. When we get satisfied with him, when his love is more than enough, when we get overwhelmed by his presence in our own cars when we're driving or in our houses when we're in prayer, we get overwhelmed. I don't care about the things. I'm not even looking at them. People come in and they say, oh, check this out. That's nice. I'm done. It's nice. And that's it. It's cool. It's, you know, whatever it is, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it. But then I'm done. And then I want two more Catholics downstairs that I can witness to. If you know any Catholic, just send them in. I'd like to talk to them, all right? When we're in right relationship with God, our souls are satisfied. In Psalm 73, 25 and 26, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He said, "I desire nothing besides you." Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." And in Luke 12:16-21, it says, "And he told them a parable, saying, the land of the rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." We cannot lose sight of eternity and being satisfied in this world. We're in this, but we're not of it. Amen? When we're satisfied with him, everything else just fades. Everything else, it's like, oh, that's nice. I'm so glad that you get to drive that. You get to live there. You get to enjoy that. Whatever it is, that's wonderful. But not in my heart. Not my heart. My heart has to be his and his alone. And when he has my heart, I do what he asks. When he doesn't have my heart, I do what I want. And that's what we need to ask ourselves today. Listen, I know it's a little bit challenging, and I'm not trying to, you know, to push too hard. Forgive me, Father, that's a lie. I want to push with everything I got. I want to get every gift in this house running at 100 and, or what's the red line, Rick? What's the red line on that Nova? 8,500 RPMs? Could be. I want everybody running at 8,500 RPMs with your only passion and desire being the King of Glory. Because then people are snatched from the flames of hell and they're swept into the kingdom of God. That's the heart of the Father. That how many perish? None. That none perish but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's get lost in him. Amen. Stand up this morning. Don't lose sight of eternity. Bigger barns, more stuff. For all of you that can't handle the stuff that you already own, they're building a new storage unit over there on Healy, right? Yeah. Yeah, you don't have room for it in your house, but it's yours and you're going to keep it. Isn't that amazing? You'll never look at it again, but by golly, it's going to be in storage with my name on it. Whatever it is, let's not lose sight of eternity. It's not the bigger barns. It's not the natural. It's the eternal. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come. And Lord, we want you to be our desire. We want you to be our passion. Lord, we want to be, as David said, we want you to be our counselor and our strength. We want you to be all that we desire. Everything. Our refuge, our support. We know that you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. When everything shakes around us, oh God, you're the one that steadies us. Lord, we agree that you'll never abandon. Never. We don't have to fear it ever again. Maybe we've been abandoned in the past, but he'll never abandon you. He'll never stop loving you. He said, I loved you before you were created. And he said, if you make your lot, your bed in Sheol, I'll still love you. If you make it in heaven, I'll love you. Father, help us to see differently, to think differently, to desire differently. And Lord, help us to walk out knowing that our God is so good that even if somebody takes something, you're going to give it back. You're going to magnify. You're going to multiply when we respond properly. Lord, help us to let go of all of those things, that none of them hold us, that none of them consume us, and we don't spend our life trying to acquire, but Lord, we just want to be with you. And when we're with you, and the Holy Spirit starts to speak, and we start to say what he says, then everybody around us starts to change. First and foremost, ourselves. So Father, I pray that if there's any wood, hay, and stubble that we've been building on, that your Holy Spirit would bring that fire and show us. Show us. Maybe there's a cloak in front of it that's dressed it up and made it look really nice. Father, burn away that cloak. Burn away the lie. Burn away that desire so that you're all we want. Father, this morning, touch every single one in here. Stir up the gift in them, Holy Spirit. Stir them up, oh God. Lord, put your finger on it and remind them again and again and again, this is what I've called you to. It's a higher calling. It's greater. People's lives will be changed. Thank you, Father, for knitting all of our hearts together with yours, making up the family of God. Thank you for the family that's meeting in Athens. Thank you, Father. Bless them this morning. Lord, fill that house. Overwhelm them this morning with your loving kindness. And Lord, we thank you for increase over there and the other ones that are preaching the word of God. Lord, let each of us encourage one another as we see the day grow closer, building each other up. Help us to build upon a firm foundation. No wood, hay, and stubble in our houses. No wood, hay, and stubble in our minds, for we know that we have been made whole. We know that we're strong in the Lord and the power of your might. We know that there's no guilt and shame and condemnation. We know that we have been made whole, complete, and given the power from eternity, the power from the very throne room of God to overcome every obstacle that comes and to be able to give our lives completely, even unto the death. Lord, let us hold nothing back so that you're glorified in us and through us, and the whole world would say there is a God who saves and heals and delivers. Thank you for the body of Christ running out of here, looking for one more that hasn't heard. One more before they jump. One more before they overdose. One more before they end it all. One more that's in depression. One more that needs deliverance. One more, Lord, let us walk out of here looking for the one like it's our child, like it's our family member. And we bring them, just as Matt, year after year, stayed in there with his brother and brought him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and baptism. Thank you, Father, for changing our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.